Thank you, Jim. No, life has been good. We've had a lot of fun together. We greet you all this evening in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I hope that you will all remember the sermon that we heard this morning in regards to memory or memorial for one who gave his life for each of us. But tonight, though my message is considerably different, it's about the same thing. How many of you know what I'm holding in my hand?
Scriptures.
It's the Bible and the Book of Mormon. The Scriptures, the Word of God. I want to take tonight as a scripture to fill my thoughts on from this 12th chapter of the second book of Nephi, starting with the 42nd verse. Quite a long reading, so I hope you bear with me and try to assimilate everything I read. But behold, there shall be many in that day when I shall proceed to do a marvelous work among them, that I may remember the covenants which I have made with the children of men, that I may set my hand again the second time to recover my people who are of the house of Israel. And also I may remember the promise which I made unto the Nephi, and also unto thy father, that I would remember your seed, and that the words of your seed should proceed forth out of my mouth unto your seed. And my word shall be henceforth unto the ends of the earth, for the standard unto my people, which are of the house of Israel. Because my word shall hiss forth, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, a Bible. We've got a Bible, and we cannot be any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fools, many of the Gentiles shall say, a Bible, we have got a Bible, and we cannot be, and there cannot be any more Bible. But thus saith the Lord God, O fools, they shall have a Bible, and it shall proceed forth from the Jews, mine ancient covenant people. And what think they that the Jews, what thank they the Jews for the Bible which they have received from them? Yea, what do the Gentiles mean? Do you remember the travails and the labors and the pains of the Jews, and their diligence unto me in bringing forth salvation unto the Gentiles? O ye Gentiles, have you remembered the Jews, mine ancient covenant people? Nay, you have cursed them, you have hated them, and have not sought to recover them. But behold, I will return on all these things upon your own heads, for I, the Lord, hath not forgotten my people. Thy fool, thou shalt say, a Bible, we have got a Bible, and we need no more Bible. Have you obtained a Bible, save it were by the Jews? Know ye not that there are more nations than one? Know ye not that I, the Lord your God, hath created all men, and that I remember those who were upon the isles of the sea, and thy rule in the heavens above and the earth beneath? And I bring forth my word unto the children of men, yea, even upon all the nations of the earth. Wherefore murmur ye, because that ye receive more of my word? Know ye not that the testimony of two nations is a witness unto you that I am God, that I remember one nation like unto another? Wherefore speak the same words unto one nation like unto another. And when the two nations shall run together, the testimony of the two nations shall run together also. And I do this, that I may prove unto many that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that I speak forth my words according to mine own pleasure. And because that I have spoken one word, ye need not suppose that I cannot speak another. And that does not mean he's going to change his thought, but he's going to repeat his words. Neither need you suppose that I have not caused more to be written. For I command all men, both in the east, in the west, and in the north, and in the south, and in the isles of the sea, that they shall write the words which I speak unto them. For out of the books which shall be written, I will judge the world, every man according to his works, according to that which is written. Behold, I shall speak unto the Jews, and they shall write it. And I shall speak unto the Nephites, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto other tribes of the house of Israel, which I have led away, and they shall write it. And I shall also speak unto all nations of the earth, and they shall write it. It shall come to pass that the Jews will have the words of the Nephites, and the Nephites will have the words of the Jews. The Nephites and the Jews will have the words of the lost tribes of Israel. The lost tribes of Israel shall have the words of the Nephites and the Jews. It shall come to pass that my people, which are of the house of Israel, shall be gathered together into the lands of their possessions, and my words shall be gathered into one. And I will show unto them that fight against my word and against my people, who are the house of Israel, that I am God, and that I covenant with Abraham, that I would remember his seed forever. And now, behold, my beloved brethren, I would speak unto you, for I, Nephi, would not suffer that ye should suppose that ye are more righteous than the Gentiles shall be. For behold, except ye shall keep the commandments of God, ye shall likewise perish. And because the words which have been spoken, ye need not suppose that the Gentiles are utterly destroyed. Behold, I say unto you, that as many of the Gentiles shall repent, are the covenant people of the Lord, and as many of the Jews will not repent, shall be cast off. For the Lord covenant with none, save it be with them that repent and believe on his Son, the Holy One of Israel. Tonight I would like for us to think back. How did we get the Bible? It says to remember the travails that they went through. Do we remember? Do we know how we come about of having the Bible? Who did these travails? I'm not proposing that we should reverence these people, because as the angel told John, I am your fellow servant. Worship God. When John fell down at the foot of Jesus to worship him. But I think it would be well to remember and to respect and to give some honor, at least, to those who have suffered in times past and gone at this time of memorial. History tells us that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Also, in Deuteronomy, the sixth verse. Well, maybe before I read that, I want to go to 1 Nephi in the first chapter in the 60th verse. I told you that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. But we know that about 600 B.C., King Nebuchadnezzar of Persia invaded Jerusalem and took them all captive. But before he did that, before this happened, God led Lehi and Nephi out of the land of Jerusalem because of the destruction that King Nebuchadnezzar was going to bring upon them. But in the first chapter of 1 Nephi, starting with the 60th verse, and it came to pass, this is Lehi talking, that he spake unto me, saying, and let's talk about he is the Lord, or the angel, behold, I have dreamed a dream in which the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brethren shall return into Jerusalem. For behold, Laban hath the record of the Jews, and also the genealogies of our forefathers, and they that are engraven upon the plates of brass. Wherefore the Lord hath commanded me that thou and thy brother should go unto the house of Laban, and seek the records which and bring them down hither into the wilderness. And now behold, my brethren, murmur, thy brethren murmur, and saying, it is a hard thing that you have required of them. But behold, I have not required it of them, but the commandment of the Lord. Therefore go, my son, that's talking about Nephi, and thou shalt be favored by the Lord, because thou hast not murmured. It came to pass, Nephi, Nephi said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded me, for I know that the Lord hath given no commandment unto the children of men, save that he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the thing which they have, he commandeth them. And they did go, Nephi and Laban and Lemuel, and I believe Sam was there, also I'm not positive about that, but anyway, they went, and they made two efforts. First, they just went and asked for him, and they were driven out and threatened to kill him. And then they went back to their possessions, and they picked up all their precious things, their gold and the silver and their precious things, and was tried to buy the records. And again, they were chased away. So Nephi went, knowing that God had promised and he'd prepare a way. And in First Nephi in the 107th verse. Nephi says, nevertheless, I went forth, and as I came near unto the house of Laban, I beheld a man, and he had fallen into the earth before me, because he was drunken with wine. When it came unto me, him, I found it was Laban, and I beheld the sword, and I drew it forth from the sheath thereof, and the hilt thereof was of pure gold, and the workmanship thereof was exceeding fine. And I saw that the blade thereof was the most precious steel. It came to pass that I was constrained by the Spirit that I should kill Laban. But I said in my heart, never at any time have I shed the blood of a man. And I shrank, and would that I might not slay him. The Spirit said to me again, behold, the Lord hath delivered him into your hands. Yea, and I also knew that he had sought to take away mine own life, and he would not hearken unto the commandments of the Lord, and he also had taken away our property. And it came to pass, the Spirit said to me again, slay him, for the Lord hath delivered him into thine hands. Behold, the Lord slayeth the wicked to bring forth his righteous purpose. It is better that one man should perish than that a nation should dwindle and perish in unbelief. And so he did. He followed the commandments of the Lord, and he obtained those records. What were they? They were the brass plates, the plates that were the beginning of the Book of Mormon, or what has been abridged to now be the Book of Mormon. Records say that at the time of Nebuchadnezzar's besiege of Jerusalem, that he burnt all their records. And so from about 600 down to about 400 BC, they had no records. But nowhere does it tell you, in the Bible at least, what that they were missing and was not burned. But going to the second chapter of Ezra, seventh chapter of Ezra, rather. And the sixth verse. You know, in reading the previous chapters, in the days of Cyrus, he sent Ezra and a large company of the house of Israel back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and to rebuild the walls. But here in the seventh chapter, It says that it describes who Ezra was and said, and this Ezra went from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe. And the law of Moses, which the Lord had, God of Israel had given, and the king granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him. And there went up some of the children of Israel, of the priests and the Levites, and the singers and the porters, and the Nathemims, and unto Jerusalem in the seventh year of Alexander the king. There is another record written by Ezra, and this one he's called Esdras. It was written in Alexandria, Egypt. It's the same man. It's just the Chaldean name for Ezra. And in the second Esdras, as it says here in the 14th verse, 14th chapter rather, and the, we'll start with the 14th verse. Now I'm going to start with the 19th verse. The king here had commissioned or told Ezra to go and teach the Jews in Jerusalem the gospel because they had dwindled in unbelief. And here he says, this was Ezra's answer. Then answered I before thee and said, behold, Lord, I will go as thou hast commanded me and reprove the people which are present, but they shall be born, but they that shall be born afterwards, who shall admonish them? Thus saith the word, let the darkness and they that dwell therein are without light. For thy law is burnt, therefore no man knoweth the things that were done of thee or the works which have been given. But I have found grace, but if I have found grace before thee, and the Holy Ghost, send the Holy Ghost unto me, and I shall write all that hath been done in the world since the beginning, which was written in the law, that men may find the path that they in which are will live in the latter days may live. And he answered me, saying, go thy way, gather the people together, and say unto them that seek thee not for 40 days. But look thou and prepare thee many box trees, and take thee Sariah, Deborah, Salemia, Ecunus, Azel, these five which are ready to write swiftly. And come hither, and I shall light a candle of understanding in thine heart, which shall not be put out, till things be performed which thou hast shalt begin to write. And when thou hast done these things, shalt thou publish them, some of the things shalt thou shall secretly to the wise. Tomorrow, this hour, shalt thou begin to write. Then I went forth as he commanded, and gathered all the people together, and said, hear these words, O Israel. Our father at the beginning were strangers in Egypt, from whence they were delivered, and received the law of the life, which they had kept not, which he also had transgressed them. Then was the land, even the land of Sion, parted among you by lot. But your fathers and yourselves have done unrighteous, and have not kept the ways of the righteous commanded you. And forasmuch as he is a righteous judge, he took from you the things that he hath given you. And now ye are here, and your brethren among you. Therefore, if it so be that ye will subdue your own understanding and reform your hearts, ye shall be kept alive, and after death ye shall obtain mercy. And after death shall the judgment come, when ye shall live again, and then shall the names of the righteous be manifest, and the works of the ungodly shall be declared. Let no man therefore come unto me now, nor seek me for 40 days. And so I took the five men, as he commanded me, and we went into the field, and remained there. And the next day, behold, a voice called to me, saying, Esdras, open thy mouth and drink. And he gave me to drink. Then opened I my mouth, and behold, he reached me a full cup, which was full as it were with water. And the color thereof was like fire. And I took it and drank. And when I drank it, my heart uttered understanding, and the wisdom grew in my breast. My spirit strengthened with my mercy. My mouth was opened and shut no more. The highest gave me understanding unto the five men. Gave understanding unto the five men, and they wrote a wonderful vision of the night that were told, which they knew not. And they sat 40 days, and they wrote in the day and at night they ate bread. As for me, I spake in the day, and I held my tongue by night. In 40 days they wrote 204 books. And it came to pass that the 40 days were fulfilled, that the highest spake, saying, the first thou shalt hast written, published openly, that the worthy and the unworthy may read it. But keep the 70 last, that thou mayest deliver them only to such as wise among the people. For in them is a spring of understanding, and a fountain of wisdom, and a stream of knowledge. And so it was that God replaced the records that was gone, whether they were burnt or whether that Nephi got the only record there was, I can only imagine. But God caused that they were to be replaced. And you know, there's some complaint, I think, about the Book of Mormon that it says it quotes the King James Bible almost verbatim. My answer to that is, that proves to me that when the King James Bible was translated into English, it was done correctly. Because we know that the Book of Mormon was translated by the power of God, not by the wisdom and the learning of man. And if they agree, it's because the Bible agrees with the Book of Mormon, not the Book of Mormon agreeing with the Bible. I read that we might know what some of the travail that has come to pass in bringing the Book of Mormon to the Bible and the Book of Mormon to us. We know that as Nephi and his father Lehi obtained the brass plates, that they continued to write on them. And Nephi was called also to make a small record. And on that, to keep only the word of God, the spiritual things, on those small records. And Nephi says, I don't know why I'm doing this, but God told me to do it, so I will. And he did. Well, we know that those small records filled the place in the Book of Mormon that was lost Martin Harris took when Joseph Smith gave what had been translated to Martin Harris to show his wife, and they disappeared. And they were told not to write them again, but to take these small records and put them in the book. And I don't know whether first time I became aware of that, I was amazed that it fit exactly. You don't even realize there's anything missing at all when those small plates went in that Book of Mormon. And so Nephi continued to write, and also his brothers Jacob, Enos, Jerem, Omni. Later on it was Nephi, the son of Helaman, and then Moroni did the abridgment, or rather Mormon did the abridgment of the brass plates, and Moroni did the abridgment of the 24 gold plates that was written by Jared and his brother and his descendants. They killed themselves off down to one man about 600 B.C. I would also like to turn to We're at 1 Corinthians. Okay. First Corinthians in the 3rd chapter. Fifth verse. Who then is Paul, and who is Paulus? But ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord giveth to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. We know that in the first chapter of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so it is that the Word, or Christ did the speaking for God and to the children of men down through the ages. What thank ye for those men that suffered so to bring unto us the words of God? You know, as I, the other day, I attended a memorial service down at the Light Company, and they had a memorial service for those who had lost their lives in the line of duty for the Kansas City Power and Light Company. And they gave us a little booklet with all their names on it, and it's the first one was died in 1917 here in Kansas City. He was electrocuted. And the last one was about 60 later, was killed in 2010. I knew six of those men myself, and one of them I was by his side when he died. You know, one of the speakers at that ceremony was talking about the gratitude that we need to give to those men who gave their all for us, that we might have electricity. And he went on ahead and said, we probably could never happen. I can't imagine it ever happened. But what would it be like if we had no electricity? We'd be pretty dark right now. Service would have started at 4 o'clock and quit at 5, probably. And we'd gone home to a dark home with only a candle or something like that. When it got hot, we would have no air conditioning. When it got cold, most of us would have no heat, because it all depends on electricity to automatically turn our furnace on and turn it off. We'd probably have no car to go home with to begin with, because there would be no manufacturing for such an animal. Life would be a lot different, wouldn't it? Had you ever stopped to think what it'd be like if God had never given us His Word? You know, history in the book, in the Bible, tells us that He drowned most of the world at one time because of their iniquity, because of their disobedience. They disobeyed God. And He saved 8 souls, Noah, his wife, and his 3 sons, and their wives. 8 souls. And they repopulated the earth. And again, about 2,200 years before Christ, they begin, got into mischief. Knowing God's will, they still decided they was going to escape the flood and build a tower to heaven. And so God confounded their languages so they couldn't communicate anymore. You know, communication is a great thing. In fact, I would have no job, I guess, tonight if we couldn't communicate. But nevertheless, He did spare some. But that is the reason for all the difference of the languages throughout the earth. And they grew up, and as Ezra told King Cyrus, I think it was, you know, we don't have the records, and just look what's happening to the people. We're going into iniquity because we don't know what's right and what's wrong. And if it gets worse as time goes on, it's going to be terrible. And that's what it'd be if we did not have the Word of God. Well, we might say, is it likely that we will not have the Word of God? Let us turn again to the Bible. I mean, rather, the Book of Mormon. Third Nephi in the 7th chapter. Starting with the 34th verse. And thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, at the last day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel, and shall project the fullness of my gospel, and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations, above all people of the whole earth, and to be filled with all manner of lyings and deceits and mischiefs and all manner of hypocrisies and all and murders and priestcrafts and abominations and secret abominations. And if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, say the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. And then I'll remember my covenant which I have made with my people, O house of Israel, and I'll bring them my gospel unto them. And I will show unto the people of the old house of Israel that the Gentiles shall have no power over you, but I will remember my covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and ye shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. And if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And I will not suffer that my people who are the house of Israel shall go through among them and tread them down, saith the Father. But if they will not return unto me and hearken unto my voice, I will suffer them. Yea, I will suffer my people, O house of Israel, that they shall go through among them and tread them down. And they shall be as salt that has lost its savor, which is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men, foot of my people, O house of Israel. I hear among us almost daily our concern for the way that our nation is going, the fact that we are denying God, denying Jesus Christ, denying his gospel, denying the creation that is a hand of God, and approving all kinds of iniquity. No, we can't drive more than 75 miles an hour or 70, whatever it is now on the interstate. We cannot drive faster than 30 or 35 here in town. They're going to take care of that. But I can do just about anything else I want to except murder. And they'll not say a word. Well, I can't steal. But that's about the only two things that they're really concerned about. I can be as immoral as I want to be, or as I could be. And believe me, I don't want to be because I think there's no pleasure in it. But our nation is denying the Word of God. It said there that if they would persist in their pride and their lifting up in their hearts and lyings and deceits and mischiefs, and all manner of hypocrisies and murders and priestcrafts and whoredoms and secret accommodations, that if he kept on doing these things, he would take the gospel from them. I cannot tell you how that could happen because I don't really know. But it says so, and I believe it will be done. Right now, for the most part, you don't have to take it away from them. They don't want it. They'll have nothing to do with it. And I think it's quite evident to most of us that you cannot go out and buy even a good Bible now without really searching hard to find one that's not been changed and messed up to teach whatever they wanted to teach. Maybe that's the way he's going to take it away from us. It's written there in the Book of Mormon that the Bible has or will be taught by the precepts of men and their own imaginations. And so it is that it is done. But I am thankful. I am very thankful that God has been merciful to us and give us his word. Not only the words of the Bible, but the words of the Book of Mormon. His words. And I'm looking forward to the day when the Jews will have the words of the Nephites. And when the Nephites will have the words of the Jews. And the lost tribes of Israel will have the records of others also. He says that all nations of the earth will write. Even we will write. And I just pray that it's the word of God that we write. We somehow quite often say, well, the Bible is a history of the people upon this continent. That's true. But it's not just a physical history, a history of their development and their fall and their increasing and falling again, but their spiritual growth and their spiritual decay. The Bible the same way. And they both prophesy of a decay in the last days. And it appeared to me that most all who believe in the Bible in any way, shape, or form are considering the fact that we are living in the last days. A day when it's said there he will do a marvelous work and a wonder. A marvelous work and a wonder. Something we can't even imagine what all that includes. We know that it will take nothing less than the power of God to turn a nation back to him. If we would turn to the 10th chapter or the 9th chapter of 3 Nephi, you know, I said that this man at the Memorial of the Light Company said it's not likely to happen. But you know, I'm not just too sure. I have quite often jokingly said that electricity is not here to stay, though I made my living with it for 40 years. I'm not sure it's here to stay. I don't know how vulnerable we realize it really is. Some of you remember a few years back in, I think it was New York, somewhere between New York and Canada, they had a great big outage. And we saw that on our records here in Kansas City. Our lights blinked here too. Clear back here, just because they had an outage there. Because of the snowball effect, the whole nation is hooked together, one way or the other. There's no area of our country that is isolated. It's just, I got my own power and then leave me alone. We're all hooked together. And if Kansas City needs electricity that they can't generate, they buy it from Tennessee or from Idaho or wherever the Bull Shoals is. We buy it. And if we got more than we need, we sell it to somebody else. But our lines are all tied together. Sure, they've got automatic equipment. I was working with the time that happened there in New York, and we did quite a lot of changing to try to keep it from happening again to us. But even so, it wouldn't take much of somebody that really wanted to put us on our knees to take away our electricity. And I just read to you that God is going to take the word of God away from those who reject him. And our only hope, our only salvation is, through all the things that are before us, is to put our trust, our faith, and our daily labors in the worship of our God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, I've made a quick account of some that we might remember at this time of memorial for the Word of God that had been brought to us. I wrote, it started with Adam. He taught his sons and on down. Noah, Enoch, Methuselah, who lived for 900 years, and Enoch, who pleased God so much that he never died, that God took him. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Daniel, David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, Job, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, John the Baptist, and Jesus. Though he never wrote, his words were written for him by Matthew, John, Luke, Paul, Mark, and John. John wrote his own, James, Peter, and Paul. And after that, we went into apostasy. And what is apostasy? It's a turning from the Word of God. Complete disobedience to the Word of God. I said a while ago, what would it be like without the gospel? It's called the Dark Ages. That's what it's called. A time when the Word of God was not there. That God did not work with the people. It was many years that they were in the Dark Ages until he brought about the Reformation and the Restoration in 1830. And at that time, we had Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, Martin Harris, David Whitmer, Granville Hedrick. And there was 59 members that came back here with Granville Hedrick in 1867. George P. Frisbee, E.E. Long, Clarence Wheaton, Clarence W. Wheaton, B.C. Flint, R.R. Robertson, James Yates, T.J. Sheldon, Leroy Wheaton, and Nicholas Denham. All of these gave their life for the Word of God. And there are a good many more. I'd be here all night probably I don't know where I'd find them all really, but just a good little example of those who we need to remember and to praise God for those who gave their lives for the cause of salvation. I knew I'd forget something, and I had something I was going to read. If you'll give me a minute, I'll get it out of my briefcase, be right back. What I'm going to read is an item that was printed in the 1949 Advocate. And I've got permission from the author to revise it just a little bit to bring it up to date. 93 years ago, that's 183 years, our forefathers brought forth upon this world the old gospel, conceived in revelation and dedicated to the purpose for which Christ taught. We are always engaged in a great conflict against evil, because that gospel, so conceived and so dedicated, must endure. We are met together on a great battlefield of that conflict. We have come to bring remembrance the things which those brave men who lived long ago bore record of. It's altogether fitting and proper that we do this. But let's remember that we cannot change. We cannot misconstrue this record. The divinely directed men of long ago have struggled for this cause, and it bore record far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will very little know, nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they stood for. It is for us, the living, rather to be here dedicated to the unfinished work which they who have fought before us have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these great disciples we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave their last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these men shall not have died in vain. And I might say that there are some of the women there that we cannot forget either, though I did not mention any of them. That this gospel of God, which has a new birth, and this ministry of Christ by God for the people, shall not perish from the earth. We have a great responsibility to remember what was taught. And we do not have the excuse that they had in the days of Ezra, because we have the word. But we need to read it. We have been asked together here on Sunday afternoon, I think about 3:30 it is, and we'll read through the scriptures. The last time we'd done this, we'd only done it once so far. But there's only, I don't think there was 10 of us. And I don't in any way imagine that the rest did not read either at home or wherever. But it's an effort to get us in the practice. You know, I was one time in a sermon, I mentioned we need to make a habit of being in church. And I was told, that's not why we come to church, for a habit. We come to church to serve God, to please Him. Well, habit or not, I think we need to do something to get ourselves here. And I think if we make it a habit, sooner or later, it's going to be our life. It's going to be our life standard. And we will appreciate the opportunity we have. I appreciate every one of you here this evening, but I miss those that were here this morning. And I pray to God that somehow He will reach out to them, that they too might come and hear the Word of God. The Word of God that He's given to us to guide our footsteps, to show us the way to eternal life, and back home to the God who gave us life. And I thank you for your attention, and I pray that you will take increased devotion for the cause that we're assembled here. God bless you.